You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply,
it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back. It's Monday, and we're starting the week off with a great show. During the first hour, we'll be talking with Tim Caulfield, author of The Cure for Everything, Untangling the Twisted Message about it. Really, that was a Freudian slip. Untangling Twisted Messages about Health, Fitness, and Happiness. And then we're going to change it up. We're going to be joined by Dr. Lane Norton as we talk about metabolic damage and what you can do about it. So we have a great show planned today, and we're going to get started right away. Tim Caulfield, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Welcome to the show. And Tim and I were talking off the air, and it's funny because a lot of the things that we talk about here on the show are things that are sentimented here in the book as well. First of all, talk a little bit about yourself. You actually dedicated this book to your training partner. I feel that you are an avid physical culturist. Is that true?
I've always been a fitness geek, right? Because way back even to my childhood, I think I've worked out almost every day of my life. So that was a big motivator for the book. That element, you know, I've always been working out. So I thought, you know what? I want to start bringing some science to this. I want to start bringing as much of the evidence that's out there that's relevant to fitness. I want to bring it in and trying to tease out what we should all be doing.
And the reality is, when push comes to shove, we should always, and I say this on the show, we should always go with critical thinking, the results from critical thinking, as opposed to science, because science changes from day to day. What we think is true today will be proven untrue tomorrow. What we thought was true yesteryear, it's already been proven untrue. And so these science paradigms, they're kind of in dynamic flux all the time, right?
Yeah, that's right. Now, you know, I'm a professor, and I'm a full-on science geek. So that's sort of the other element of what drove me to do this book, you know. And I've always, you know, throughout my career, my day job is to integrate what the science says about health and sort of inform health policy. And you're absolutely right. Science is always changing. Now, I would say that's one of the beauty of science, right? It's self-critical. It's always evolving. But you always have to have your critical hat on. I say in the book that we should all be skeptics all the time about everything, right? You should always have that sort of skeptical thinking cap on. So when you look at new evidence as it emerge, you know, don't just look at that study, look at the body of evidence and sort of the direction of the evidence to make decisions about, you know, health and fitness and diet, et cetera.
Well, the other problem with science today is that it's corrupted by media. And what I mean by that is you have good, hardworking, well-meaning scientists out there looking to produce studies. But if the studies aren't sexy in the way that the media is looking for things to spin at that time and in place, they're trees falling in the forest. So scientists quite often have to pander a little bit with headlines of press releases that may not really capture the salient information in the research, but happens to be what the media wants to promote right now.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And to be honest with you, that's sort of the core of some of our research. We call it the cycle of hype. And if you look at there's some great emerging research on this very phenomenon. What we hear from the laboratory is twisted the moment it leaves the laboratory. You know, there's increasing pressure on scientists to make their work sound sexy, as you just pointed out. A recent study came out that showed that 40% of abstracts, now keep in mind, abstracts are written by scientists, are written by people like me, have some kind of spin in it, right? So you have that abstract, you have that research paper that has spin in it, and then it hits the research institution, the university, wherever, and research shows that the press release from the university has spin in it. And then it goes from there to the media, to you guys, right? And you got to make it sound sexy, and you got to make it sound a little bit more simple, and you got to make it sound like it has more immediate relevance. Bam, more spin. Then it hits the market, more spin yet. And keep in mind, in today's environment, researchers are under incredible pressure. I see it day to day in my life. Under incredible pressure to make their work sound commercializable,
right,
and to make it sound immediately relevant, right? So I always tell people, be skeptical if there's an article in the paper that's an animal study, because most animal studies don't pan out, right? Be skeptical if it's just a correlation study, some kind of big association study, you know, smoking, well.
Well, a perfect example of this is just recently, the L-carnitine red meat heart disease research that hit the media, that the media embraced, because the whole forks over knives agenda is just being promoted to such a great degree right now. But when you really read the research, you find out that the individuals with the highest L-carnitine levels had the lowest TMAO levels, regardless of what type of meat they were eating. So but that didn't sell. No one's going to say, hey, guess what? Red meat isn't so bad. No one's going to promote that story. So when you say, well, red meat causes heart disease, well, that's going to go, because the whole forks over knives vegan for a day message is loved right now by the media.
Yeah, and there are all these kinds of media fads, right, that where people start embracing particular messages. The red meat, funny, I've just had a discussion about red meat. That is a fascinating part of the story, because as it sounds like you know, the data is actually much more equivocal. It's much more complex. If you look at what the data says about lean red meat,
right,
versus processed meat versus, you know, eating lots of unhealthy fats, animal fats, if you look at what the data actually says, it's pretty equivocal. And there's actually some studies that say it's good for you, or there's no association, right, between eating red meat and a particular health risk. So you're absolutely right. You know, I always say, you know, look at the body of the data. And the other thing, and a big theme in the book, is, look, we know basically what keeps you healthy. You know, we know sort of the 5 or 6 or 7 acts that human beings should be doing to keep you healthy. That'll take you 95% of the way there. Everything else is sort of fiddling at the margins.
Okay, so let's talk about something that you and I talked about off air for a second.
Yeah.
Bill Davis's book, I erroneously referred to him as Richard a little while ago, and I don't know why I did that, but Bill Davis's book, Bill's been on the show numerous times, dating back to 2006, and when he came out with Wheat Belly, we had him on the show, because there is something going on with the inflammatory relationship between grains and humans. But you have a different opinion about the whole the wheat agenda, don't you?
Yeah, I do. And again, this is one of those, a really good example of, and I think the book's interesting, and I don't want to throw stones or anything here. I think it raises some interesting points. But it's a really good example of sort of simplifying a complex scientific question, right? So, is wheat causing the obesity epidemic, as the media sometimes portrays it? No. And there's no evidence to support that. Is going gluten-free a magical cure to losing weight? No, and there's no evidence to support that at all. Is wheat sort of, you know, whole grains inherently evil? No, and there's no evidence to support that. In fact, if you look at the, as we said off air, if you look at the data, probably the diet that has the most research, the most good research, even sort of clinical research to support it, is the Mediterranean diet. And the Mediterranean diet includes whole grains, right? So there is no magic, you know, this whole gluten-free thing clearly is, to some degree, and I'm going to come back to why I'm saying to some degree, is sort of the new fad, right? And, you know, you should always be skeptical of any diet fad. History tells us that, right? We should remember that. Every single trendy diet has fizzled out throughout history, every one of them. So that should be your starting point. So why am I saying to some degree? There is some interesting emerging evidence around this idea of non-celiac gluten sensitivity, right? And I do think that that deserves more research, right? So celiac disease is very rare. There is this sort of wheat sensitivity, again, likely very rare, right? And even the people that are sort of advocating the idea that there's this wheat sensitivity, the researchers out there advocating that, we're not talking about 40 or 50% of the population. We're talking about 4 to 7%, right, at most, who have this. But if you believe the headlines, it sounds like none of us should be eating gluten. So again, taking a very complicated sort of scientific phenomenon and simplifying it to make it a sexy, sellable message. I think that's
well,
a problem.
Well, but here's what I think the real problem is, okay? And kind of, science is like a telescope, right? You never put your eye against a telescope and zoom all the way out to look at the entire, array of stars, right? Because that's like meaningless, right? So you always zoom in at one star. Right?
Right.
You have no idea what's going on in the periphery at that moment. You're focused on this one star. The problem with science is, in my humble opinion, and I'm not accredited at anything other than doing this show, but the problem with science is that we're all too often trying to find the magic bullet. As you point out, weed is absolutely not the reason for obesity. The reason for obesity is a multifaceted, perfect storm, unfortunately overused term, but appropriate for this discussion, perfect storm of a combination of lack of sleep, poor food choices, no fitness, job styles that make people sit for 8 to 10 hours. I mean, you could go on and on and on. So will eliminating grains from your diet cause you to become thinner? Not to the degree that you probably would hope. You have to employ all these other things because this whole looking at one star in the cosmos thing doesn't tell us what the universe is really doing.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And there's two things sort of at work. You know how all these diets work, and I know you realize this because you've been doing this show for a long time. The way all these diets work, because I'm sure people are going to hear this and go, oh, I went gluten-free and I lost a whole bunch of weight. The way that almost all, and I hesitate to use the word fad, but the way all fad diets work is it forces people to concentrate on what they're eating for, a particular amount of time. And so all of a sudden they're aware of what's going in their mouth and they start eating a healthier lifestyle and they lose weight. And if people are doing that, fantastic, right? But you're absolutely right about the kind of the one star phenomenon. And that even happens with very sophisticated science. There's the cliche and I hate it, but I'm going to roll it out. If you got a hammer, everything looks like a nail, right? So if you're a geneticist, it's genetics. If you're, a nutrition expert, it's nutrition. If you're a physical activity expert, it's physical activity. So in the book, I really try to take sort of the step back and look at it in total and take a truly interdisciplinary analysis of what's going on. I can't look at all the stars, but I try to look at more than one.
And we're going to talk about that when we come back from the break, because you have five distinct chapters in this book that really break this whole process down into some very, very unique approaches. The book is called The Cure for Everything, Untangling Twisted Messages About Health, Fitness, and Happiness. It's available at Amazon.com. It really is a great book that I think you should read. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Mit einem riesengroßen Schlauch. Sie wollen ein Feuer löschen.
Powerblock dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair. And they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Powerblock barbells that turn your Powerblock dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Powerblock dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on SuperhumanRadio.com for a free brochure.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
My friends are always asking me what I do to keep my face so youthful and fresh looking. I use RGCell Super Stem Cell Support. RGCell is the only cosmeceutical with penetrating anti-aging messenger molecules that activate old and dormant stem cells to restore your skin to a healthier, younger appearance. This helps to repair DNA, stimulate new cell growth, and aggressively eliminate wrinkles. You can learn more by visiting superhumanradio.com and clicking the RGCell banner ad today.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Get a free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Later in the show, we'll be joined by Dr. Lane Norton. We're going to talk about metabolic damage. Right now, we're talking with Tim Caulfield about his book, The Cure for Everything. Untangling twisted messages about health, fitness, and happiness. And I have to throw this in here, and then we'll get back on track. I told you this off the air, that one of my new mantras is the new evolutionary selection pressure is not famine. It's not inclement weather and ice age. It's information. Where people get their information will determine if they will remain healthy and longevity will be in their path, in their future, or not. And every time I speak to a person who's frustrated, they're obese, they listen to the show, they say, Carl, you know, I can't lose weight, I don't know what I'm, but I eat healthy, they tell me. And when I look at their diet, I think to myself, this is anything but healthy, but it is what is being suggested by organizations that dictate how people should eat. And I'm of the opinion that governments should get out of the business of suggesting nutritional guidelines. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, that's a controversial topic, as you probably know, and one of my good friends, Yanni Friedhoff, he's an obesity expert, great guy, incredibly knowledgeable. He reviewed my book, and that was his one criticism of my book. So here am I critiquing my book on air. He said I wasn't critical enough of the government food guidelines. You know, I am critical, as you know, in the book yes. about these guidelines. I say that, you know, they're under pressure from corporations. They're under pressure from the industry generally, and that maybe the guidelines are themselves obesogenic. Now, Yanni argues they should have even gone further, saying, look, the conflicts are just so great, right, in how these guidelines are produced that they border on useless.
Now, yes.
I'm not sure if I totally agree with, you know, with Yanni, because I think that as a sort of a picture of what we should be eating, you know, is it science-based? Is it perfect? No, but at least the fundamentals are there. My problem is that with the guidelines, I find them confusing, find them hard to follow, you know, all this portion size, all those kinds of things. I think we can simplify the story and probably don't necessarily need them.
Well, and the real problem is this. I am not a conspiracy theorist, and every time I say that, someone goes, okay, here comes his conspiracy. But you must understand, conspiracies are not clandestine, you know, meetings in back rooms where hands are shaken. They are driven by profit.
Yeah.
And conspiracies occur organically without organizations getting together and agreeing to conspire. They just do organically when profits are the goal. And a government that has heavily invested in corn and grain and soy is a government that is going to produce guidelines that promote the consumption of corn and grain and soy, if for no other reason, so that they can get their investment out of it. And this is my problem. Governments should not be involved in dictating how people should eat. Quite frankly, let the scientists do that, not the governments. And scientists that are not attached to the government or funded by the government, because we know what happens when science is funded certain ways. The NIH came out and admitted on my show last year, I think it was, that a lot of the research that they fund doesn't even make it to the headlines, just because somebody decides, well, that's not the message we want to promote. It's not in sync. So, and that's one of the reasons why you have to be careful with science in general. But here I want to get back to diet for a second.
Sure.
In chapter 2, diet, miracle foods and magical weight loss. Talk about this chapter. What were you trying to get across with this chapter?
Well, you know, it builds on exactly what we were just talking about. There is so much noise out there around what we should be eating. First, for your health sake, right? You know, what kind of, you know, nutrients we need to get in our bodies, but also, of course, around the diet industry, you know, which is a massive, massive industry. So I wanted to explore, what does the science really say? And my message, I think, is that we just need to simplify. We can ignore almost everything. We know the elements of a healthy diet. We do, and we've known it for a very, very long time. Yes, we're studying sort of the marginal aspects of the story. What kind of nutrients are better for this and for that? What kind of diet makes you feel more satiated? All those kind of things. But we have known for a very long time the elements of a healthy diet, and that is 50% fruits and vegetables, whole grains, low, lean protein, a little bit of dairy. You know, and you're good to go. Like that, we've known that. And we, you know, quit with all the magical foods and things that we should be consuming. And so I try to look at that. Now I actually try to walk the walk in every chapter. So I went on a diet, you know, try to have a, I put together what I called my FAT, my food advisory team, which was made of, academic, food experts, you know, nutrition experts. And I would only eat what they told me to for a period of time. I lost 30 pounds, which I've kept off.
But okay, you lost 30 pounds, but how much of that was fat, and what happened to your lean body mass? Did your lean body mass increase or stay the same?
It stayed the same. Now, this is a very important point. Like, so I keep in mind, remember I said at the beginning, I've always been a fitness fanatic.
Right,
like,
right.
I competed at a very high level in a variety of sports, and that was 30 pounds of fat that I did not think I had on my body. I thought it was cut. Right, so it just really shows you, you know, we also these biases that we have about how we look and everything. I have these,
and that's a problem I have. The word fitness has been co-opted not to mean a level of performance by the human condition, but instead that you fit into a certain size pair of pants or dress.
That's right, for sure. Sexy abs, right? That's the, you know, definition of fitness. And fitness, and I really push this in the book, it really should be about being active and sort of the metabolic changes that occur as a result of your physical activity, not sort of your aesthetics. Because if aesthetics is a goal, you're going to fail, right? We're all going to fail because most of us don't have the genes to look like, you know, Brad Pitt, period. So if your aesthetics is your goal, you're going to fail. It really should be feeling good, getting fit, and creating those metabolic changes that are really going to work. So I try to look at the evidence and say, what does the evidence say? What should we be eating? How can we lose weight? Even though I don't think we should necessarily be concentrating on that, but I did want to look at what the evidence says about that. And I just try to ignore all the hype and get to the core truth.
I just wish people would start saying vegetables and fruits instead, because I think you should be eating more vegetables than fruits, and it's always fruits and vegetables. But that's a little idiosyncrasy of mine. Talking about genetics for a second.
Sure.
Epigenetics is all the rage. We know about polymorphisms. We know that drugs tested in India don't necessarily have the same pharmacological effects as drugs tested in the European population. We know that we process things differently. Why shouldn't diets be unique to a person because of where their genetics evolved? I mean, I'm a big proponent of ancestral diets, but not paleo per se. But how did my ancestors eat 400 years ago before agricultural revolution and marketing of foods became the mainstay to tell people how to eat? What do you think of that?
Well, look, this is actually where we do a lot of our research. We do a lot of research in the area of genetics. I just spoke at this at a big obesity conference in Vancouver. The reality is, look, we're all so incredibly genetically similar, right? And 400 years is nothing from an evolutionary perspective. You know that, right? Your genome's not going to change in 400 years, right? So we are all so incredibly similar from a genetic perspective. Yes, there are population differences, but these population differences, like I just don't think our society is at a point where we should be worrying about tailoring our diet based on our genome. Most Americans, most Canadians, most people from the UK, we don't come close to eating a healthy diet. We don't come close to it. When we have, less than, I can't remember what the data is, it's really grim. It, you know, varies depending what study you look at, but you're talking like less than 10% of the population eating anywhere close to the appropriate amount of fruits and vegetables. When we get up to a point where there's 80 or 90% of the population, we can start worrying about tailoring our diet to our genome. But I don't even think right now, if you look at the data that's coming out, other than a few particular kinds of traits, the data just isn't there to support getting genetic tested. Now, as you know, for the book, I went and got genetic tested, and I didn't find any useful information in there that caused me to change my diet as a result of the test. Most, you know, there's some really interesting, sophisticated tests that you can get now, relatively cheap genetic tests. They give you fun, kind of interesting results, so I don't want to say that you shouldn't necessarily do those tests, but you're not going to get anything that's going to profoundly impact your health. So I say don't worry about any of those gimmicks. Get the basic stuff right, and maybe start thinking about gimmicks later.
What about the styles of training for fitness? Do you have an opinion on cardio versus heavy resistance training? I mean, we have an audience here who I love heavy resistance training, but I love cardio too, and I do them separately. Do you have any opinions on this?
I've got a whole bunch of opinions on it, and your audience is probably going to be right on board. I'm a huge believer in resistance training, and I think that public health agencies downplay it. I think, you know, it's a messaging thing, right? If you tell people that they should be lifting heavy weights, you know, I think people are worried they're going to lose their audience, right? But I'm a huge believer in real resistance training. And the irony, of course, is the exact populations that should be doing it are probably the ones that aren't doing it. The elderly, right?
Right.
Women should be doing it.
Oh, yeah.
You know who do it is young men, probably the last people that should be doing it, right? So I'm a huge believer, and I think the evidence supports it. In fact, I ask experts all over the world for the book, if you had to pick one workout, now not everyone agreed with this, but most concluded, if you had to pick one workout, what would it be? And they said it, an intense resistance workout.
Absolutely.
Some people said intense interval workout if they had to pick one, and I'm a big believer in intervals. I think the evidence shows increasingly that's
high
the way
intensity,
to go.
High intensity cardio, yeah. And
so,
you know what's funny? That's been I say on the show that women need to strength train because they outlive men, and the reason that they end up institutionalized is they lose the ability to be ambulatory, learn how to deadlift, learn how to squat, and you'll stay independent longer. But also, recent research has been all abuzz about this new form of brown fat that they say, you know, maybe pharmacological interventions can come where we can turn the fat in an obese mm-hmm. person's body into this brown fat, which is thermogenic and burns calories. And I say, wait a minute, we already have something that does that. It's called muscle. Why don't we just turn fat people into more muscular versions of themselves, and that will happen as well? And for some reason, the medical orthodoxy ignores the importance that muscle is metabolic currency. And I don't understand what, like, when we talk about diets. Well, I lost 40 pounds. Well, guess what? If 50% of that was muscle, that wasn't a good weight loss, in my opinion.
You know, the interesting thing is around the muscle. I'm getting a little more optimistic than you. It sounds like, because I think we're starting to see a change in how both the science community and the medical community view resistance training. I'm just noticing it over the last couple of years, and I think it's because of of the public health epidemic that's occurring around obesity and sedentary lifestyle. Because you're starting to see better studies on the value of exercise. You know, bigger studies, bigger N. So I'm starting to see a change, but I absolutely agree with you. There's a great study, I think it was out of the UK, that showed that the muscle mass was one of the strongest indicators for quality of life later in life, right?
Well,
elderly.
There was a study.
And I loved your push on deadlifts and squats, because those are two of my favorite activities. I think everyone should be doing
right.
Those.
There was a study done by the California Veterans Administration that I did a show on in end of 2006. They followed 16,000 men and over the course of, I think it was like 20 or 22 years. And the study basically showed that the strongest men at the beginning of the study, who remained strong during the study, were still alive at the end of the study. And the men who were the weakest at the beginning of the study, who got weaker during the middle of the study, passed away. And the old adage, Only the strong survive was proved out in that. And we're talking about muscular strength now. They tested, leg presses and stuff like that. It was great. Listen, let's take one more commercial break. Stay with me through the break. I have one more question for you, and then I know you have to go. We're talking with Tim Caulfield. It's really a great book. The Cure for Everything, Untangling Twisted Messages About Health, Fitness, and Happiness. And this is also a book not just to buy for yourself, but if you have a loved one or friend that is struggling right now because they keep saying, but I exercise, I eat healthy, I don't understand what the problem is. This book can elucidate a lot of the information for them. Stay tuned, right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The Advanced 7 Keto and T2 formula with sustained time release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now. Usually something for nothing is worth nothing, but go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a 1-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting-edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation, no kidding.
Iron Mag Lab is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com. For the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Sega!
Sonic, wait up!
Welcome back. Okay, we're talking with Tim Caulfield. At 1 o'clock, we'll be joined by Dr. Lane Norton. You'll want to stay tuned for that. Tim's book is The Cure for Everything, Untangling Twisted Messages About Health, Fitness, and Happiness. And we have to talk about longevity for a second, because one of the things that sets my show apart from a lot of the other fitness shows is the emphasis on longevity. After all, I'm 55 years old. I'm not a young whippersnapper and doing a bodybuilding show here. It's not only about getting stronger, looking great, feeling great, but it's about health that adds to the quality of life. So what are your opinions of the whole longevity movement? Do you think there's some validity in it? Is it all smoke and mirrors?
I think it's one of those situations, and I bet you're going to agree with this, where there's a little bit of a twisted message there. It's a little bit clouded. I think there's some real legitimacy to it. There's some fascinating basic research going on, animal studies going on, genetic studies going on associated with longevity. As you probably know, there's some they're sequencing the genome for, I'm actually involved in this project on the ethics committee. They're sequencing the genome of people that have lived over 100 years to try to see if there's anything special. So I think there's some very interesting research going on, and I think we're going to learn stuff from that. I also think that that there's a nice emphasis that's starting to occur on quality of life.
Yes.
So not only do we want to be living longer, we want to be living healthier. And there's a great, in Canada here, we have this great new ad, and I remember the first time I said, this is fantastic, a great new ad campaign about quality of life over it. The things that you do today, now, you know, I'm going to be in my 50s soon too. And so the things that I do, that you and I do now, are going to impact how we feel when we're 80 and the kind of life we live. Lifting weights, for example, right? Eating more vegetables and fruits. All those things are going to have a real tangible impact.
Thank you, and I think
there's more research on that.
thank you for putting vegetables in front.
My pleasure. I like that idea.
Well, you know, and it's funny because we understand now, regardless of where you stand on the whole telomerase discussion.
Right, right.
Which we've had Aubrey de Grey on the show, and I've actually been able to sit down with him one-on-one when he was here in Louisville lecturing, and we talked about the whole mitochondria theory and telomeres and all that. Regardless of whether you believe that telomere length is indicative of lifespan or its corollary, one thing we do know, that those who live with less stress, and let's face it, no one has less stress in their life. It's all about how you mitigate that stress and how you handle
right.
that stress. But those who live with less stress have longer telomeres. And when you talk about quality of life, quality of life begets longevity. When we talk to people, we did a show with a guy who wrote a book called Gold. It's the G Getting an Old, Gold. And he interviews all these centenarians. And when you talk to them, you don't have to do a genetic project on these people. What you find out about them is they have a couple things in common. They are very regular. And what I mean by that is they have a routine that they've lived within life. They go to sleep at the same time. They get up at the same time. They eat the same breakfast. They move through the day very similar ways. Number two, they have very positive outlooks on life. They laugh things off. They don't take too much seriously. And when you look at these two things in and of themselves, you realize that this begets a sense of stability and a sense of knowingness of how the day is going to play out. And that regularity reduces stress. Now you look at people who, one week they're working shift work, the next week they're working daytimes, they've got kids, they're running here, they're running there, they're stressing about the mortgage, and you see them age before your eyes. A perfect example of this is look at any president.
Yeah.
Presidents become presidents, they look like they're 30 years old, and after one or two terms, they look like they're 80 years old. If that's not proof that stress ages you, nothing is.
Yeah, and there's fascinating research around stress too. There's good stress and bad stress, right? A little bit of stress is good, right? And then, of course, as you point out, it's how you deal with that stress that seems to have a really big impact. Now, as I said at the beginning, I'm a total science geek. So when I started this book and started my research, I was always skeptical of these kind of touchy-feely aspects
yes,
of it.
Yes, yes.
But you know what? The evidence shows it's right. And the other one that you didn't talk about is relationships. You know, there's evidence that having good relationships, long-term relationships, meaningful relationships has a real, tangible, measurable impact on your life.
Yes.
And, as I said, I was skeptical of that when I started my sort of inquiry, but the data's there.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And the good stress you talk about is the stress that provokes hormesis, right?
Right, and this idea that, and I also think there's some interesting research on the idea of challenging yourself, right, and having that kind of stress, and then using that stress to learn how to manage stress. Again, real data backing this up.
Okay, so in summary, what do you hope people take away from your book?
Well, I hope that people will ignore all the bull out there, all the baloney that's thrown at them from the market, all the hype, all the gimmicks. focus on the basics, focus on the evidence, and we know what we should be doing. You know, we know that we should be doing resistance training, real working out, eating more fruits and vegetables. Ignore the hype, follow the basics, develop a lifestyle. As you just pointed out, I think all the research says this, develop a lifestyle you can sustain forever and enjoy.
And resistance training does something that we're not talking about here, okay? Forget about the regularity of getting into the gym and the spiritualness. You know, I call going to the gym going to church now because I apply critical thinking skills to everything I do. So I have a hard time investing in religion in the whole. I believe I'm spiritual, but I don't think that I believe in a lot of the stuff that one religion promotes over another. But when I go to the gym, I feel like I'm worshiping in a different way. And when we look in science at organisms that are resistant, you know, well, we can't kill this organism. We can't kill. Well, guess what? They're strong. Well, that resistance is the same kind of resistance that you develop when you lift heavy weights and you get stronger and stronger. As an organism, you become more resistant. And so there's no magic. We don't need studies to tell us, oh, the strong live longer. They just do because they're stronger.
Well, I think you raised another interesting point in why activities like yoga have benefit. Now, I take a few shots at yoga in my book.
Right.
But there is evidence that has benefits. And one of them is what you just pointed out, is that it's these moments in your day when you're mindful, right?
Yes.
The moments in these days. And I think doing, for me, it's resistance training. You know, doing a good resistance workout, I have that same kind of response to that. And it kind of empowers me in other aspects of my life.
One last thing I want to mention. I would love to see somebody do a study. Now that metabolomics is all the rage now, and we're looking at how foods actually are metabolized and what they become, as opposed to trying to find one single endpoint, it's more like pulling the telescope all the way back and looking at the complete universe. What I'd love to see is how stress affects food metabolism. So if you bombard somebody with the message that eating red meat is bad and they eat red meat, what changes in their body as a result of that versus if you bombard somebody with a message that says eating red meat is actually healthy, we've discovered it prolongs life, it's good for you. Because when people eat and they're obsessing about what they're eating, I have to believe there's a change in partitioning, there's a change in the inflammatory response to that meal, there's a change in what that meal does for the body. I just have this strange feeling about it.
I mean, it's a super interesting idea. I think all these kinds of messages do also is it makes eating more complicated than it should be. It makes sort of the whole process of buying food and more complicated. It should just be real food that you enjoy, and, you know, ignore the junk, obviously. Ignore the gimmicks. Focus on what's healthy and eat a balanced diet. And, you know, the data supports that.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, listen, Tim, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. The book is available at Amazon.com. The book is called The Cure for Everything, Untangling Twisted Messages About Health, Fitness, and Happiness. It's a really great book. It's a very, very fast read. I think everybody out there should get it. You will not be disappointed with this book. Tim, thanks for being on the show, man.
A true pleasure.
Take care. All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, I've got a couple messages, and then we'll be joined by Dr. Lane Norton. I know him before he was a doctor. Oh, my God. All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you in the midst of cutting body fat? Feel exhausted when it's time to train but don't want to use pre-workout drinks because they're loaded with sugar and carbs? Ice V2 is here to help you get intense while carbohydrate depleted. Ice V2 has only 1 gram of non-sugar carbs per serving. Ice V2 is loaded with strength-amplifying anabolic activators that will make your workouts more productive while allowing you to cut the fat. Cut the fat. Loaded with amino acids, Ice V2 contains the unique Formel Norvaline that acts as a pump amplifier. Get Ice V2 today at xfmuscle.com. New from Rob Ragish, author of The Blueprint and SHR's own Blueprint Power Hour, comes the Blueprint Bulletin. Every month, Rob delivers the absolute latest and greatest information right to your inbox. Everything's on the table, including training, diet, supplementation, gray market products, and more. This is a fantastic way to stay one step ahead of your competition and use these secrets to up your game. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com or click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad on superhumanradio.com to get your free introductory issue. Go to the Blueprint.
NaturalPrintBulletin.com today.
Way Natural USA is the best whey protein in the world. Not only is it from Amish grass-fed cows inside the United States, but it's the only grass-fed whey in the world that is not heat pasteurized. Don't be fooled by other grass-fed whey products that are low heat pasteurized. Only the patented Chill-Rite process leaves all the natural fractions of whey intact to boost your immune system while building more muscle. And Way Natural USA is also the lowest price for non-heat pasteurized grass-fed whey protein in the world. Don't waste your time on products that only deliver 15 grams of protein per scoop. Choose the best with 25 grams of protein per scoop. Way Natural USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Way Natural USA banner ad today to see why anything less is wasting your money.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, melanotan 2, mechanical growth factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rubbed Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away. Not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. A couple of announcements before we're joined by Dr. Lane Norton to talk about metabolic damage. On last week's Casual Friday, I erroneously said that Monsanto purchased Blackwater. Blackwater is a private army, if you will, comprised of ex-CIA, Secret Service, and FBI agents, and other paramilitary personnel. They have not purchased Blackwater. They have come out and said that while they have not purchased Blackwater, they are working with Blackwater, which means that they've retained Blackwater as a contractor. And they've retained Blackwater as a contractor to help them deal with the anti-Monsanto movement in the United States and abroad, really. So I guess what we can see, or we would hope to see here in the near future, is Blackwater's intelligence personnel acting on Monsanto's behalf to thwart and suppress the message that Monsanto is doing horrible things to the country, to the people in this country, to the people abroad, but not as many abroad because a lot of governments won't allow Monsanto's products in, like their GMO corn and so on. But here in the United States, where your health is for sale, Monsanto not only operates openly, poisoning the food chain, but is now protected by the Monsanto Protection Act, which was signed into a bill by this administration just last month, which means basically that Monsanto cannot be penalized for anything that they do or held responsible for anything that they do if it's determined that their genetically modified corn really does cause cancers, or Ready Roundup is doing this, or any of the other things that they're working on to genetically modified really do cause disease in this population, there will be no liability on their behalf. The government will help them dodge that bullet. And this is ridiculous, because in the past, only governments have had what's known as sovereign immunity. So you can't go and you can't, you know, the president of the United States does something wrong that costs this country lives in war. You can't take him to court, put him in jail. It's sovereign immunity. And you can't do it to judges who unfairly prosecute individuals, let's say, put an innocent guy in jail. You can't come back later on and say, well, you know, you put that guy in jail. He's been exonerated now. So we're going to hold you accountable. No, you can't do it. It's called divine. It should be divine immunity, right? From heaven. It's sovereign immunity. Well, now the company Monsanto has sovereign immunity in this country. They can do anything they want and they will not be held accountable or culpable. And if this doesn't upset you, it should, because we don't know what the, and you know what? It may be that GMO is not bad at all. Okay. But shouldn't they determine that before they turn it loose on the population? So they did not buy Blackwater. Correction. They are working with Blackwater, and Blackwater will be probably knocking on this door someday, because of the things that I say about Monsanto, eventually. Okay. So a couple of announcements, and then we're going to be joined by Lane Norton. Age Force has a fat burner patch that is very popular with everybody who uses it. People use it, and then they use it for a few months or longer, and then they stop using it because it works. As Steve Lapidus has come on the show and said, the good thing about the patch is also the bad thing about the patch, that it works. So people don't have to take it forever and ever because it works. You can get a free month trial supply of the Age Force Fat Burner Patch to see for yourself if it will work for you. You should be able to tell within a couple weeks of using it whether or not it's working. And the patch does now contain the over-the-counter available form of thyroid hormone T2 and 7-keto DHEA as two new ingredients in the patch to help you with your fat loss goals. If you go to superhumanradio.com, click the Age Force banner ad, use the coupon code, it's all one word, burn body fat. You can get a free month trial of the Age Force Fat Burner Patch. Check that out. Number two, Altrient now has available their liposomal glutathione. For anybody who wants the most effective antioxidant out there, the antioxidant that recycles a bunch of other antioxidants, including vitamin C, it's now available. When you click the Altrient banner ad on the Superhuman Radio website, which is right now promoting the Myers cocktail alternative, which is called the Altrient cocktail. If you haven't heard that show, it's a great show with Dr. Tom Levy. Look on the bottom of that page and you'll see that you can now add Altrient and liposomally encapsulated glutathione to your order. And when you add it, you actually get a discount on the whole order. So it's really worth checking out. I love this stuff. I take it every day. And then lastly, Life Extension Foundation is promoting a free one-year membership to my audience, which includes a coupon for $25 worth of free product. So not only do you get a free membership, which includes the monthly magazine, but you also get $25 worth of free product. Use it however you want. You don't have to buy anything. You can use the whole $25 just on one supplement or whatever. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get your free one-year membership and $25 product credit. No strings attached. Now, while you're there, at the very top of the page, you'll see a banner that says 50% off everything you need to promote a healthy inflammatory response. We had Dr. Michael Smith on the show. He talked about an anti-inflammatory stack that he put together just for my audience, because so many people are worried, what should I take to promote healthy inflammation, but to thwart chronic inflammation? These four supplements: Super Bio Curcumin, Bromelain, Super Omega 3, and 5-LOX Inhibitor are available at 50% off, 50. It's $100 worth of supplements for just under $49, and you can get that when you click the banner ad for the free one-year membership. You'll see at the top, it says order now, and you can then click that link and order the ultimate anti-inflammatory response stack from Life Extension Foundation. This is only available to Superhuman Radio listeners. This is not available anywhere else, so check it out. Go to superhumanradio.com, and of course, always patronize the sponsors whenever possible because they make the show possible. Okay, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to be joined by Dr. Lane Norton. Stay tuned.
Something for nothing is worth nothing, but go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a one-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting-edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation, no kidding. Way Natural USA is the best whey protein in the world. Not only is it from Amish grass-fed cows inside the United States, but it's the only grass-fed whey in the world that is not heat pasteurized. Don't be fooled by other grass-fed whey products that are low heat pasteurized. Only the patented Chill-Rite process leaves all the natural fractions of whey intact to boost your immune system while building more muscle. And Whey Natural USA is also the lowest price for non-heat pasteurized grass-fed whey protein in the world. Don't waste your time on products that only deliver 15 grams of protein per scoop. Choose the best with 25 grams of protein per scoop. Whey Natural USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today to see why anything less is wasting your money.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Could Altrian supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrian C and Altrian ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrian C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrian ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrian cocktail 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Back by popular demand, and I mean this. I got emails from people saying you've got to have Dr. Lane Norton on the show to talk about metabolic damage. Also, a regular on the Body RX show, which people still email me about and ask why we don't do that show anymore. And I don't know why. Dr. Lane Norton. How you doing, Lane?
I'm all good, Carl. How are you?
Fantastic, fantastic. And, of course, kudos for all of the good things that you do out there. I know that you're very, very active in promoting sensible, drug-free bodybuilding and powerlifting. Quite an accomplished powerlifter as well. Very few people can do the things that Dr. Lane Norton has done. No, it's the God's honest truth. I'm schmoozing you a little bit, but it's the truth. I mean, you're an accomplished drug-free bodybuilder who, by the way, drinks water all the way up to the competition and looks like he's cut out of mahogany when he's ready to step on stage. But also, a very accomplished powerlifter with, correct me if I'm wrong, but like a 700 pound deadlift.
Yeah, that was my best ever, correct.
Yeah, so, hey, I heard a rumor that Aaron Singerman was going to try to challenge you to a deadlift competition. Did that ever come around?
Well, he talked a lot about it, and I think he got up around 600 pounds and then kept saying about how easy it was going to be for him, and then I never heard anything from him again. I think he probably found out that you actually needed a set of legs in order to hit a 700-pound deadlift. But, you know, Aaron's a friend of mine. You know,
oh, yeah. Aaron's a great guy. You know, and very strong. But in his defense, he's traveling around the world constantly on behalf of RX Muscle. I have a feeling he has very, very difficult time training with any regularity right now. So, okay, sure. So what is metabolic damage, first of all, Lane? You're promoting this, and people are asking me, why don't you have Lane on the show to talk about metabolic damage? What is it?
Well, it's I actually will be honest with you. I don't even like the term damage because it implies like some kind of cellular, you know, damage to the cell or DNA or something, which is not exactly what happens. More accurate is probably a metabolic adaptation.
Okay.
And I'll just give you an example because it's the easiest way to relate it to everybody because everybody knows this person. Carl, do you know somebody who does honest to God, you know, 1,000-1,200 calorie diet, who does 2 hours of cardio a day and they can't seem to lose any body fat?
Yeah, like 80% of the population who claims that they're trying to lose body fat.
Right. And so I started, this was something I thought that didn't even exist a few years ago. And what happened was I started getting a lot of clients, potential clients coming to me who'd been working with some other coaches. And I mean, kind of the, you know, I always say a dumb monkey can look at a scale and say, you know, number not low enough. We need to reduce calories. You know what I mean?
Yeah, do more cardio. There's a lot of personal trainers that do that. Do more cardio. Drop your calories. You're not getting, you know, you're not shedding body fat fast enough.
Right, exactly. And actually a lot of coaches out there, even with people who have fast metabolisms, they just kind of put everybody on the same cookie cutter diet and they end up turning people with fast metabolisms into people with slow metabolisms. But what I started noticing a trend was that you would see people, and I always use this, it's more women than men. And I'll give you my hypothesis on why that is, but basically what you would see, especially with competitors, but this even would happen with normal people who try to drop body fat, they would go really restrictive. They would, their first time, you know, have to diet pretty hard, but they'd get in pretty good shape. And then after the contest was over, they would binge and put on a lot of weight, you know, pretty quickly.
Right.
But, you know, without the benefit of having a long-term stimulation of their metabolism, there was a study done a while back, so in Minnesota, I think it was, and they took men and they had them really calorie restricted for a long time. It's like six months, and they lost a lot of body weight. And then they had them just kind of eat how they wanted for the next 6 months. And what they found was that it took them almost equal amount of time that they dieted down. It took them that equal amount of time to get back to normal, right, metabolically. And so the problem is, like, when you have people, and you know this, Carl, if somebody goes out and they just eat whatever they want after a show, they can put on 10, 15, 20 pounds in the space of a very short amount of time.
Yeah, within the week. And that's why a lot of bodybuilders will use that time to eat right and train hard to kind of use a boomerang effect, right?
Well, I mean, you always hear people say, well, there's an anabolic response after a show. Yeah, but it's fat anabolic. Because, you know, if your metabolism is very repressed from dieting down, what happens is you're consuming a lot of calories, but your metabolism has not had the time to catch back up from the calorie intake that you are intaking. Mm-hmm. So you end up putting on a lot of body fat really quickly. Now, when men do it, they kind of go, men tend to have this happen less often, this metabolic, long-term metabolic adaptation, because what will happen is they'll go, oh, what, you know, I put on 20 pounds of, you know, and I look softer, but whatever, I'm bulking.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
They're cool with it because they're going to try and gain muscle. Whereas women will look at that, you know, 10, 15 pound fat gain, they go, oh my God, I can't stand this. And right. They'll immediately start trying to diet back down. But their metabolism has not had time to recover. Like we just talked about, it takes almost equal amount of time to recover. And so they will have gained back a large amount of that fat. And then in order for them to get it back off, they have to get now more aggressive than they did before.
Right.
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 Because metabolism is a little bit repressed.
Right.
And they'll go through several cycles of that until the point where they can't even lose body fat anymore on, you know, 800 calories, 1,000 calories a day with a large amount of cardio.
Right.
And so, like I was saying, 5 years ago, I didn't even think this existed because I looked at it. If you look at metabolism as a math equation, you would say this math does not make sense, right?
Right.
Because we're burning 1,000 calories, quote unquote, when we're doing this cardio, and we have
– Yeah, right.
You know, we're only consuming less than 1,000 calories. It's impossible. So I thought that people were just lying to me, right, that they were just making this stuff up.
Right.
Because I was having trouble getting results with some of these clients. I was not able to get them lean enough because they came to me already kind of in this state.
Mm-hmm.
And what I started having to think about was putting my ego aside and actually think about why I was not getting results for these people. And this is kind of a hypothesis I came up with. And there's actually a paper that I have right in front of me that's from the Netherlands. And they call it adaptive thermogenesis. And they termed it, it's a decrease in energy expenditure beyond what can be predicted by the loss of fat-free mass and fat mass. And it compromises the maintenance of a reduced body weight. So basically, this metabolic adaptation is done basically to help you prevent starving yourself, right?
Mm, sure.
Now, you can starve yourself if you don't eat any food. You can absolutely diet and starve yourself, but you can get to a point where you can maintain your body weight on a very, very low, you can maintain livable weight on a very, very low calorie intake.
Right.
And it, again, it's basically, and especially with people who do a lot of activity, like marathon runners. I always talk about that. Everybody knows marathon, like there's, I know a lot of marathon runners.
They're skinny fat. First of all, a lot of marathon runners carry a lot more body fat than I would ever think they would. They're not all ripped and lean.
Yeah. I mean, some of the best ones, you know, are very lean, but that's probably more of a, you know, genetic selection right. In terms of those people are very good at it because they're genetically superior. But certainly, yes, there's a lot of them who have trouble. I knew a marathon runner who was on 1,200 calories a day, and they were doing at least 10 miles of running every day. And it's like, if you truly believe metabolism is a math equation, then you must believe that tens of thousands of people are lying about what they're doing.
Right.
That they're more than I choose not to believe that, because especially when you're talking about physique competitors, yes, you will have some people that won't do it. But I mean, you know this, Carl, for the most part, these people are very neurotic and would just assume not eat anything if it got them to the goals.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And especially women. And it's interesting because women are the most susceptible to this, because women believe I'm not losing weight, I must eat less, I must do more cardio. I'm not losing weight, and they are the ones that this phenomenon really preys upon, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I have, and it's even, you know, kind of the stigma of how people react to it. Well, you're not dropping body fat. You're just not working hard enough.
Right. Right.
You're just not moving enough, eating, you know, and I said, you know, some of these big fitness teams out there, it almost creates like a cult atmosphere where, you know, it's a point of pride that they do, you know, 3 hours of cardio a day. Look, I'm all for sacrifice to achieve a goal, but I'm not for sacrifice so that you can put yourself up on some kind of moral pedestal just because you say, oh, I do 3 hours of cardio, so I'm better than somebody who does one.
Right.
Well, if that person less cardio gets better results than you, who gives a crap?
Right. Right.
Yeah, so and actually, I think the low intensity cardio is a big problem too.
Okay, let's stay with this just for a second. So let me ask you some questions first of all. Okay, so
sure.
Back in the day when guys like you and I used to bump around on mind and muscle and stuff like that. We used to talk about this fed state phenomenon, right? So we know that, you know, genetically the body has one mission, and that is to stay alive until it reproduces. And with that being the case, signals to the body like famine, which is what you're doing to yourself when you go on a hypocaloric diet, tell the body right. that the environment is hostile, and it starts to do things metabolically to protect itself, as you so eloquently point out just now, that this phenomenon arrives. And so when you take this person who has been literally starving themselves and increasing their workload at the same time, what kind of hormonal shifts are occurring that allow a person to even develop enough energy to continue to do that kind of cardio? Where are they getting this energy from?
Right, and really what you start to see is, we're going to start to put together some research studies to try and look at this. I think what you're going to find is that people are not getting a thermogenic effect from this cardio.
Ah.
That it's basically still, you know, at maintenance. And I'll put it to you this way. I don't even necessarily think it's a hormonal issue. Now, sometimes, absolutely, you will have people who have drops in thyroid and they start having hormonal perturbations. But I've seen people who've had this, who have completely normal blood profiles of hormones. So I also think it's a,
does the mitochondria become more efficient, so that it uses less energy?
I absolutely think that's what's going on. I think if you talk about survival, efficiency of energy production is a good thing, right? We always actually think about efficiency as a good thing, right? Efficiency, like you want to be very efficient, right? And we hear that word, and that's a positive association. If you're talking about fat loss and maintenance of fat loss, efficiency is the worst thing possible.
Right.
You actually want to be as inefficient as possible with energy production.
Right.
Because the more efficient you are, the less you need to intake in order to maintain your body weight, to maintain that energy production. So I agree with you. There's actually some data, and I need to get more in depth with it. I haven't looked at it real hard. I need to look at it harder. That shows that if you restrict calorically, your mitochondria do become more efficient at energy production.
And the reality is people who are truly genetically gifted put on body fat easily because we are genetically designed to survive through famine. And the people that we worship for being genetically gifted, the people who put on large amounts of muscle and can stay hyper lean, they are the ones that are really in the world sense, in the environmental sense, they are not genetically gifted because they would die in a case of a famine.
Exactly. And that's why the majority of people, you have the development of the thrifty gene hypothesis. And for those people who aren't familiar with the thrifty gene hypothesis, basically states is one of the reasons we're gaining body fat so quickly as a nation and as a whole world is because we've been genetically selected over the years that the people who survive are the people that are best able to be most efficient with energy production, who are best able to survive these long periods of famine. And so you've got people who are very efficient at energy production, and now in a basically 50-year time span, or 100-year time span, you've taken mankind from where, you know, energy production was energy sources of food were kind of unassured. You couldn't be sure when you were going to get your next meal.
Right.
I mean, even though you go to the supermarket and buy it, things were just not as accessible as they are now. Whereas now, especially in the Western USA, you know, the USA, you really, the risk of starvation is pretty much eliminated.
Right.
I mean, unless you're,
I mean, you could live out of garbage cans if you had to today. Because people throw more food away. Then we could feed the world with the food that people throw away.
Absolutely. And so now you have a large scale, accessibility of really high energy dense foods, with the theory being that people who are now here, most people are very efficient at storing body fat because that's what allowed them to survive and pass on their genes. So, from a survival standpoint, that's fantastic. From a physique standpoint, from a body fat loss standpoint, it's biting us in the ass.
Okay.
So
we have to take, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. Well, when you look at it from the physique enhancement, angle, so now you've got, from this angle, the body becomes very efficient in energy production very quickly, especially when you very low calorie restrict over time.
Okay. We have to take a commercial break. When we come back, I want to start talking about how long it takes for this phenomenon to occur if someone is dieting down, and then how long it takes for them to get out of it, or is that something that's very unique to them? Do me a favor, Lane. Plug your website real quick.
Layne.
Wait. You were breaking up. Say that again.
My website's biolane.com, and then you can catch me on Twitter at biolane, Facebook. My fan page is facebook.com/LayneNorton, and also my Instagram is biolane.
Okay, biolayne.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. It's because of you.
Muscle stimulation is state-of-the-art for pain management and muscle recovery. Now from ABC Medical comes the Pain Pod. Pain Pod is a professional strength EMS unit and provides 12 therapeutic modes and 20 intensity settings. It comes with everything you need: small, convenient, rechargeable, and portable. But make no mistake, Pain Pod delivers commercial-grade strength for immediate pain relief. The Pain Pod normally sells for $349, but for a limited time, the Superhuman Nation can get the Pain Pod for only $200. Including shipping. Pain Pod comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Pain Pod banner ad today to learn more.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The advanced 7 Keto and T2 formula with sustained time release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now.
Could Altrient supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrient C and Altrient ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrient C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrient ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrient cocktail 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Wherever you call your battlefield after each training engagement, you must recover. Introducing the most complete, all-natural, and organic recovery formula and nutrition's Basic Training, formulated by a military veteran. Basic Training provides the ammunition your body needs to recover and continue the fight. No fake sugar or flavors. No GMOs. Less than 1 milligram of sugar and soy per serving, with complete nutrition no other company provides. Arm yourself with the healthiest recovery formula on the market. The body's ammunition and nutrition. Join the nutritional revolution by going to muscleandnutrition.com. That's muscle, AMNUTRITION.com.
Recover!
And nutrition.
Build muscle. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. My guest this hour is the brilliant Dr. Layne Norton. Equally brilliant as he is strong and handsome, too.
I'm going too far.
You got a baby on the way, don't you?
Yeah,
Yeah, my wife's 7.5 months pregnant. Baby's due July 5th, I believe.
Congratulations. That's a wonderful thing. Okay, so now let's talk about something. What do you think the time it takes to fall into this metabolic, I call it derangement, but it's not, this metabolic adaptation or efficiency? How long do you have to be on one of these hypocaloric diets before your body really says, okay, there is danger in the environment, we need to make adjustments because it's all about staying alive now? Because that's really what's happening here.
Right. It really depends on the degree of the restriction and the activity. So they've actually shown it. I'm looking at a study here out of the Netherlands. I was talking about earlier, the adaptive thermogenesis, that was in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. And they showed it with a diet of about 800 calories per day. They showed it within 8 weeks. And I think some people have shown it even shorter, this adaptation. Now, I make the distinction that because that's such a quick response, those people would probably get back to normal pretty quickly. But when you're talking about competitors, or you're talking about people who are kind of chronically dieting for a long period of time, where they have those kind of binges in between where they put back on the weight, it gets worse and worse for them because, like I said, they beat down their metabolic rate. They reduce their metabolic rate over time. And then in the space of a few days, they'll have, you know, a holiday or it's post-contest or whatever. They'll put a lot of the weight back on. And I've seen people put, in a week, I've seen people put 30 pounds on. They'll put all of it back on, or a lot of it, and they don't get the benefit of long-term, you know, increases in calories that will restore the metabolism. And so when they try to get it right back off again, it becomes more difficult and more difficult. So kind of that long term, like if you get to that point where you've been doing that for several months or a year or a year and a half, now you're talking about taking a lot longer in order to recover from that, in order to get back to normal. I really promote what's called reverse dieting with people who have gone on a long, you know, like a contest prep or a long period of caloric restriction where they slowly bring their calories back up. And what tends to happen with these people is, yes, they will put on some body fat. They'll put on, you know, some body fat as they're bringing their calories back up. But they'll put on much, much less, and over the longer period of time, they get the benefit of the long-term hypocaloric intake, and they recover their metabolism without putting on as much body fat. I'll give you the example of a woman I worked with. Her name's Emily Blackburn, and she was down to, before her first figure competition, which she won, she was down to 50 grams of carbs a day and 25 grams of fat and, you know, well under, you know, 1,300 calories, I believe. And she was doing, you know, cardio every day, not a lot of low-intensity cardio because I'll get into it a little bit later, but I think low-intensity cardio, when you overdo it, contributes to a lot of this stuff.
Right.
But she was still doing, you know, intervals and those sorts of things. And we're out a year and a half later. She is up to 450 grams of carbs per day. She's eating 90 grams of fat, and she's gained 9 pounds, I believe, 8 or 9 pounds since the show. Now, she's put on body fat, no doubt about it. But do you think she's going to have trouble stripping that 9 pounds on that she's put on off?
No, not
absolutely
at all.
Absolutely not, because she has such a large caloric cushion now. And so metabolism, the adaptation can work both ways. It can work against you and it can work for you. So if you really slowly increase your calories over time, you will increase your metabolic rate. And I talk to a lot of people, I think a lot of, especially competitors, but it even applies to people who are going for long-term body fat loss.
Right.
To maintain that, I think the shows are one in the off-season because I'll get people who will come to me. Like, for example, a woman last week came to me and she said, I've got about 15 pounds to lose. I've got 12 weeks to do it. Here's what I'm maintaining my body weight on right now. Well, I asked her, what is your intake right now? Well, she was maintaining her body weight on 1,300 calories.
Right.
I said, well, you're not going to make it unless I starve you, and I'm not going to do that. So, you know, kind of optimizing.
So you take that person and say, okay, just like you had to have remedial math when you got into college, we're going to do some remedial nutrition. We're going to inch you up in your calories, but we're going to try to maintain your weight the same?
Exactly, exactly. And they may put on a little bit of weight, but again, I look at it from a trade-off perspective, right? And so, like, Emily put on that 9 pounds, and she probably put on, you know, 6-7 pounds of body fat. But am I willing to accept that 6 or 7 pounds of body fat for the metabolic capacity she got back? Absolutely, right? So, and that's because she put that weight on very slowly, and she increased her calories very slowly. Her body's been hypocaloric for a long period of time.
Right.
So it's been a fed state a long period of time. She's in a very prime position to drop body fat if she ever wants to. Because for her to start cutting, she can start cutting on 250 grams of carbs a day, which is where many women will gain weight.
Yeah, that's right.
Level of intake. So, yeah, I really believe in this long-term, you know, kind of controlled, you know, increases. And I think one of the problems, too, is people who compete in fall and spring shows, right? So you're not going to have time to recover your metabolic rate or optimize it if you're always competing in spring and fall, because you're going to diet for 12 weeks and then won't have enough time to get it back up to where it was before you start dieting again. So I'm not a big fan of people kind of doing, you know, shows throughout the year. I'd rather have somebody pick out
a lot of people like to do that. They go, well, I did all this prep. I'll use this. I'll just stay as close to this as possible for the next event. But that's a mistake, isn't it?
Well, I think it is, and especially if they kind of go out and cheat real big after the show, which is a lot of them do. You know, I know Olympia competitors who they pretty much diet 10 months out of the year. Because the 2 months they aren't dieting, they're eating like crazy.
Right.
Because they feel like, you know, that's a short period of time to eat what they want. And because they put on so much body fat during those periods of time, they have to chronically diet. And,
right.
You know, you'll see this a lot with bikini and figure competitors. You'll see some people will come out, they'll do very well for a short period of time, and then they fall off the face of the earth because they have trouble getting lean enough again. Because they have some of this stuff happen to them. So it really can be a problem.
Interestingly enough, Adel Moussa, Professor Dr. Andrew, just posted, he tagged you in it as well, on Facebook, a study that shows the decrease in uncoupling protein expression as a result of gastric bypass surgery, which these people have to go on hypocaloric diets. This speaks to this phenomenon directly.
I'm actually, in the study I'm looking at right here, that's interesting because I haven't seen that. I'll have to get that paper because I was just on a conference call this past week with Dr. Abby Smith Ryan. I don't know if you're familiar with her. She's at University of North Carolina and also with Ben Esco, who is a friend of mine who has a master's in nutrition. And we're looking at setting up some research studies on this. And I hadn't seen that uncoupling protein, but I said to Abby, I said, I bet if we look at the uncoupling protein, I bet you have less uncoupling protein because the mitochondria is getting more efficient at making energy. And for those that don't know, uncoupling proteins are basically proteins that make you, the more uncoupling protein activity you have, the less efficient you are at energy production. And you waste energy as heat, essentially. So anybody knows somebody out there? I knew a guy named Jim Cordova who had such a fast metabolism that if he would eat something and then stand up, he would literally break out. He would literally be hot.
Well, and we just talked about this recently because some people started asking questions about DNP, and I explained that DNP causes mitochondrial uncoupling, which makes the mitochondria work harder. And the analogy I gave, it's like putting a weight vest on your mitochondria and saying, now, produce energy. It has to work so much harder that it gives off more heat. It's more thermogenic. So what happens is when you starve yourself for long enough in an effort to try to drop body fat, the body, because it's protecting itself, says, I'm going to thwart this effort. I'm going to become more efficient at producing energy on less. It becomes so thrifty, and you don't lose any body fat. And if anything, you put yourself in a position that you're guaranteed to gain more body fat as a result of this metabolic reset point.
Right. And actually, I'm looking at a study right now looking at people who underwent gastric bypass, and they had a disproportional reduction in resting metabolic rate. You know, that's not predicted by how much weight they lost. So they had a very severe disruption of their metabolic rate because they could eat so little. You know, I always tell people, you know, it would be nice if metabolism was a math equation, because if it was a math equation, make everything easy. But the fact of the matter is, if it was simply move more, eat less, a lot of people wouldn't have these problems. And
yes.
They do.
Well,
the body is extremely efficient at trying to maintain homeostasis. You're trying to disrupt that. It's going to fight you.
Well, you have to also understand that your body does not support your goal of losing weight. Your body's goal
right.
is to gain weight because your body's goal is to protect itself against any potential period of time where food is not available. And so it's exactly the opposite of your goal. Your body also doesn't want to put on large amounts of muscle. That's why things like myostatin were genetically evolved, because muscle requires a lot of energy and the body
right.
sees it as an option that we don't need a whole lot of. So the body wants to suppress muscle gains and increase fat gains. That is the body's goal. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to visit something that we've talked about ad infinitum for the past 20 years. And that is why it's so important to eat more in order to lose more weight. We're talking with Dr. Lane Norton. His website is biolane.com, biolayne.com. Check it out. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. Kinetic Cream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetic Cream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetic Cream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetic Cream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com. If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Whey Natural USA is the best whey protein in the world. Not only is it from Amish grass-fed cows inside the United States, but it's the only grass-fed whey in the world that is not heat pasteurized. Don't be fooled by other grass-fed whey products that are low heat pasteurized. Only the patented Chill-Rite process leaves all the natural fractions of whey intact to boost your immune system while building more muscle. And Whey Natural USA is also the lowest price for non-heat pasteurized grass-fed whey protein in the world. Don't waste your time on products that only deliver 15 grams of protein per scoop. Choose the best with 25 grams of protein per scoop. Whey Natural USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today to see why anything less is wasting your money.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Leave.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We have a true superhuman on the show with us today, Dr. Lane Norton. His website is BioLane, BioLayne.com. Check it out. Okay, so here is this $64,000 question. I guess none of us remember when $64,000 was even real money. Here's a $64 million, $64 million question.
There you go.
How do you convince women that they need to eat more to lose body fat? This has to be like the hardest thing of all, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult. And again, I mean, people will say that and they'll say, well, how can I eat, you know, more and lose more? And you know, there isn't a magic solution. You know, people will try to. One of the downsides to having brought attention to this problem is that the snakes have kind of come out of the grass and started to try and promote ways to make money. I mean, I've seen people say that, oh, you know, I can fix metabolic damage in 2 months. Just follow my special program. Or, oh, you just have to eat these special foods. Or, oh, metabolic. I just saw some guy said metabolic damage was actually just a bacterial infection, which is very funny to me because infections increase metabolic rate, not decrease.
Yeah,
and,
interesting.
If that was the case, you would have people spontaneously gaining massive amounts of body fat from illness, you know, and then they would lose massive amount of body fat when it's done. So
right,
you'll have, you know, people trying to sell you quick fixes. And the fact of the matter is, there's not a quick fix, especially if you've done this to yourself for years at a time. And it is hard, and I've lost a lot of potential clients because I've told them, look, I'm not going to diet you for this show, or I'm not going to work with you if you insist on continuing to calorically restrict, because it's not like, oh, we add in calories and you're going to drop a bunch of weight. That's not necessarily what happens. I mean, sometimes they will start losing weight again after they had been, you know, stalled if they add in some calories, but typically the weight loss is modest. What happens is by adding in calories slowly over time, they get their metabolic rate back. So if I've got somebody who's maintaining their body weight on 1,200 calories, and I can get them up to the point where they're maintaining their body weight on 2,300 calories, and they only add, you know, 4 or 5 pounds of body fat in that time, okay, well, now, sure, they've added some body fat, but now when we try to diet them back down again, they'll actually be able to get past the point they were before because they have that capacity. They have that caloric cushion, so to speak.
It's almost like driving in first gear everywhere, right? Your engine is revving out of control. You're out there. You really can't go any faster than you're going. And you have nowhere to go but first gear. But if you're up in third, you can come down to second and first. It's like you have some place to go now once you're out of this starvation mode.
Well, and I keep data on my clients. I've worked with over 1,000 people in the last 8 years, and what I find is that when somebody diets down, they typically will hit sticking points every 3 to 8 weeks. That's the average. Depends on the person, but so they will get to a point where they don't drop body fat anymore, right? Or they don't drop weight for a several week time period. And for example, let's say we have somebody, we start them dieting on, if it's a woman, we start them dieting, they have a good metabolism, we start them dieting on 1,900, 2,000 calories a day. And they hit a point where 4 weeks in, they're plateaued on their weight loss, right? If metabolism was simply a math equation, then we should have to drop 500 calories off their intake per day in order to get them to start dropping a pound a week again. But what I found is you don't need to do that. You just take a modest decrease, you know, 5-10% of calories, and they will start dropping again.
Mm.
So I've become very, very big believer in that there's these metabolic thresholds. And we see that in protein metabolism. Actually, there's kind of thresholds of protein intake to initiate responses. So the point is when I diet somebody down, I try to diet them on the most amount of calories I possibly can. And when I go to make changes to get them to keep losing weight, I try to make as little change as possible in order to get the response I want, right?
Interesting.
And I had a gal, Jill Taylor, who... She's in Australia, and she owns a big fitness wear company over there. And so I'm going to give her a little shout-out. But she started working with me 24 weeks out. And she was hitting little sticking points here and there. She probably hit like 3 or 4 during her prep, I think, maybe a little bit less than that. But all we had to do was maybe like drop her carbs, you know, 15 grams, 15 to 20 grams, and then drop her fat 3 or 4 grams, and maybe add another interval here or there.
Right.
And boom, she would pick back up losing weight, right? So even small, you know, decrease. And I think what happens a lot of times is people hit a sticking point and say, oh my God, I'm not dropping any weight. I gotta get really aggressive. And I think that's a big mistake because if you force your body to respond, or if you force your body to adapt to a situation, it's going to really swing back against you violently. This is why I don't like cutting water before shows. And you and me talked about this a lot. Because if you force that on it, your body will fight you. If you coax your body, it will respond. Okay, so that's why I say diet on as many calories as you possibly can. And then when you have to make changes, make as small changes as possible to get the response. And I'll give you another example. I worked with a gal who's a pretty popular figure competitor, and we never really had to get her under 1,600, 1,700 calories in order to get her on stage and lean. I mean, she always had a good metabolism. And that's, I mean, she got very lean, and that's like at the very end. Most times she was up around 1,800, 1,900 calories dieting down. And she decided to go in a different direction for a few of her shows and went and worked with somebody else. And she came back to me 8 months later, and she was basically couldn't lose any body fat and was eating 1,100 calories a day during an hour and a half of cardio. And it was like, wow, it's amazing how quickly, as I always say, like, you know, I'm talking about you don't need a coach. Nobody needs a coach. And honestly, with most of them out there, you're probably better off on your own, quite frank with you. I mean, it's hard for me to say that because I believe that I am somebody who works in a very sleazy job in general, and I'm trying to, you know, do my part to make it less sleazy. But overall, if somebody was going to ask me, should I hire a coach, I'd probably say no, just because, a good coach can make your journey smoother, easier, but a bad coach can mess you up really bad. Right. And I've seen this a lot. So I really try to get people to, you know, one, you've got to have patience. Give yourself enough time to diet down. Don't try to drop, you know, 30 pounds in 12 weeks. That's just, you're going to have to get too aggressive, and you're going to induce this stuff we talk about.
Well, give yourself enough time. Let's talk about the opposite direction of metabolic adaptation for a second. Is it realistic to think that you do not have to eat in a classically caloric excess environment in order to put on muscle without putting on body fat?
That's a good question. And so the idea being, if your metabolic rate is lower, can you gain muscle eating a lower amount of calories than you should predict by your body weight and lean body mass? That's possible, sure. But I think the problem is that the way that most people, I tell people, I don't separate the psychological from the physiological, right? Because we always think we can, but we really can't. Because at the end of the day, we're just animals.
Right.
We like to think we're smarter than that, but we're animals.
Right.
So most people get into these kind of really restrictive diet and then binge cycles. And so, yes, they probably could put on some muscle and a lower calorie intake by slowly increasing their calories, and that would help. You know, they still limit body fat gains while adding muscle, but most people don't do that because they restrict themselves for so long, their hunger becomes so insatiable that when they do go off their diet, it's a disaster.
Right.
You know, reverse dieting is actually harder than dieting down for a show. Ask anybody who's done it. It's much harder because you don't have the contest staring you in the face anymore. And now you're still trying to be pretty strict with your diet in order to slowly bring calories back up.
Is there a way to take what you understand now about metabolic adaptation, mitochondrial efficiency, and so on? Is there a way to take this information and create a nutritional protocol that would really do something that we all talked about decades ago and we all wished for? But to really give us an enhanced repartitioning effect where we are using our calories to increase muscle mass while either reducing fat or not adding any fat. Is there a way to manipulate this information to do that?
Well, I think it's dependent on the person. And I've noticed that people have differential responses to reverse dieting. almost always you're better off doing like a slow reverse diet than you would be if you just, you know, ate whatever you wanted. Some people have an extremely good response. I worked with a gal who was on 800 calories when she came to me per day, and over the course of a year and a half, she probably added 3 pounds of muscle and stripped off another 4 pounds of body fat with a net change of, you know, I mean, that doesn't sound like much because we always hear about gaining 30 pounds of mass in 12 weeks, but in reality, for a woman, that's quite a profound change to occur simultaneously. So I think there is some possibility for that, but again, you can't overlook the kind of individual variability in terms of response. I've worked with some people who, when they reverse diet, they will have some kind of, you know, they'll gain a small amount of body fat as they go, but it's easily compensated for by the kind of metabolic capacity they get back and the amount they increase their calories. So I think it's important. I think this stuff's important in just terms of changing the mentality, the way people think, because most people kind of get into this, I'm going to eat clean for a show, get really restrictive, I'll do whatever it takes, and then when I'm done, okay, it's time to reward myself, I'm going to go out and eat whatever. I really try to get people into more kind of a maintainable lifestyle sort of thing, like I said, my client Emily is now, you know, where she's eating. I mean, she obviously responds better to reverse dieting than most people, but I found I can get most people, even women, up to, you know, 300 to 350 grams of carbs a day and 60 to 70 grams of fat per day, but they do it very slowly, very deliberately. And I'm talking, you know, adding maybe 5 grams or 10 grams of carbs to their daily numbers per week, right? So they're only adding, you know, to their daily numbers 20 to 50 calories per
week. It's almost like you're sneaking up on your metabolism. It's not really noticing what you're doing to it. It's funny.
It sounds very bro science-y, but I anecdotally found it to be true. And I'll give you the reverse of that, Carl. A lot of people have said that the obesity problem is nothing more than 20 calories a day. Because if you look at the amount of weight we put on, and we put it on over 30 years, the average American puts it on over 30 years, they put on, you know, 30, 50 pounds, and it ends up being, you know, a difference of 10, 20 calories per day. So they say, well, all we got to do is take 10 or 20 calories out of the diet per day. I promise you that if you cut 20 calories out of your diet every day, you know, just cut it out, and you maintain that, your body will do absolutely nothing. Nothing will happen. You will not lose any weight from that. Because it's so small that you're, like you say, your body just doesn't even notice it.
Right. Right. Let's do this, Lane. Let's take our last commercial break. When we come back,
okay,
I want to talk to you about how you determine the number of calories a person should be eating. Do you use a body weight times X calories per pound type of a metrics? And we're going to talk more about a little bit about reverse dieting as well. We're talking with Dr. Lane Norton. His website is BioLane, BioLayne.com. Go there and check him out, and I'll tell you why. There are lots of people out there who coach and train, but very few of them get up on stage themselves. And even fewer of them have the ability to bridge two separate disciplines the way Lane does. Lane is a drug-free bodybuilder and, as a result, has a maintainable, natural, but super muscular and super strong physique. And he shows his strength because he competed in powerlifting at one point in time with a 700-pound deadlift. This is elite status deadlift weight. So if you think that it requires drugs and insane approaches to both look great and be strong, you're wrong. And Lane Norton can help you find your way. Go to BioLane.com. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan
vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today. Whey Natural USA is the best whey protein in the world. Not only is it from Amish grass-fed cows inside the United States, but it's the only grass-fed whey in the world that is not heat pasteurized. Don't be fooled by other grass-fed whey products that are low heat pasteurized. Only the patented Chill-Rite process leaves all the natural fractions of whey intact to boost your immune system while building more muscle. And Whey Natural USA is also the lowest price for non-heat pasteurized grass-fed whey protein in the world. Don't waste your time on products that only deliver 15 grams of protein per scoop. Choose the best with 25 grams of protein per scoop. Whey Natural USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today to see why anything less is wasting your money.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The advanced 7 Keto and T2 formula with sustained time-release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert, but this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
You and I, we may look the same, but we are very far apart. There's bullet holes where my compassion used to be, and there is violence in my heart.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We had the world radio premiere of War on Health by Gary Null, a documentary that was on TV on the Superhuman Radio Network a couple weeks ago. And this weekend, all day Saturday and all day Sunday, we reran the show. We might do it again this weekend. For those of you who are out and about and want to listen to it, it's a fantastic documentary about how the FDA operates in plain sight of the government as a criminal rogue agency. And no one ever gets punished. It's really a good documentary. If you haven't seen it, I think there's the video documentary is available on YouTube as well. It's called War on Health. Fantastic stuff. Okay. We're talking with Lane Norton. His website is BioLane, BioLayne.com. So Lane, do you subscribe to a starting point with somebody, assuming that they're not already metabolically deranged, metabolically adapted? They come to you and they say, okay, I want to build muscle. I want to lose body fat. I'm committed to training hard. I'll do the interval, a high intensity training, that you dictate. Do you say, okay, 11 calories per pound of body weight is where we start, and then we'll adjust you up and down from there. 13, 15. Do you do that at all, or that's out of the question? Do you start with macronutrients as the driving force for how they eat?
I used to do it a lot more by kind of body weight, and what I found is it was just so variable from person to person that that wasn't a good predictor of what would happen. And actually what I do, what I find to be the most accurate thing is not, you know, the Harris-Benedict equation. It's not body weight times a certain amount of calories. All those things will typically get you in the ballpark for, you know, a majority of people. But I find for most people, what I have them do is I have them track their intake for a week and then, you know, kind of let me know, you know, is this a typical, I'm like, don't change anything about the way you're eating. I want to get a really good representation of what is normal for you.
Oh.
And typically, you know, when people come to me, they're doing something that's kind of maintenance. Now, sometimes not, you know, so I'll say, somebody will send me something, let's say it's, you know, here's what I'm eating, it's 2,200 calories a day. I'm basically maintaining my weight between, you know, 144 and 146. Well, for me, in this, I've been doing, you know, that's been the same for a month or two. Okay, well, then that's a pretty good indication of where their maintenance is, you know. And so I'll make adjustments, you know, depending on, you know, what their goals are, I'll make adjustments off that. And so if they're wanting to lose body fat, you know, and they're maintaining their body weight on, you know, 2,100 calories a day, well, maybe we'll start them off at, you know, 1,700 or something like that, you know, for a fat loss phase. So I find that to be much more accurate. Now, I still take weight and all those sorts of things into account, but I just found this to be way more accurate over time. Because you have so many people that are metabolically adapted or some degree of it, and their body weight is not going to predict, you know, their caloric.
Yeah.
What's good for them calorie.
Well, and you know, and this is an important distinction, because when you look at government recommendations, which, you know, during the first hour of the show, we talked with Tim Caulfield about his new book, The Cure for Everything. About the misinformation about dietary standards out there. And I asserted that government should not play a role in making recommendations about diet, because they're infinitely involved in the profit side of certain crops like corn and grain and so on. But
right.
The idea that they look at they don't even look at people anymore. They just say, well, the average person should be eating 2,500 calories a day. And it's like, this is nonsense. This is like saying, not taking into consideration that you have a 10-gallon gas tank and saying, well, everybody should put 15 gallons of gas in their car when they stop at the gas station. Well, what do I do with the 5 gallons that don't fit in my car? Do I put it in the back seat? And in the case of the person, they store it as body fat. So what I'm learning from this discussion is something that really I've never given a lot of thought to, but now I'm going, huh. And that is, my caloric requirements are dynamic and respond to my environment and where my body is at that moment in mitochondrial efficiency. And that is apt to change by the week, by the month, by the year, depending on what I'm exposing my body to.
That is 100% correct. And something that I had a really hard time, actually, you said it very eloquently. I've had a really hard time getting that kind of across to people, that your maintenance is, you know, your maintenance calorie requirements they're not static. They can change from year to year, from week to week, from month to month, depending on what you're doing, depending on how you're taking care of your metabolism, how you haven't taken care of your metabolism. This whole situation, it's like you said, it's very difficult to convince people to do some of this stuff. And I think one of the reasons I've also had trouble is, if you listen to me, I'm not selling anybody any magic solutions. I'm saying you have to pick a, you know, you have to be very patient. You have to, you know, if you've got this metabolic adaptation and you need to, gosh, you got to take two steps or a step back before you take two steps forward. So you're going to have to kind of, you know, get your metabolism back up to snuff. And that's going to take a long, controlled increase in calories. And I'll tell people, you know, typically it's going to take people I do this with, it's usually anywhere from 3 to 12 months, depending on how severe the problem is. And most people don't want to hear that. They want to hear that there's a magic solution. They want to hear that it's a lot of bacteria that's causing it, you know, because if it's that, or
it's, and then it's out of my control, because people don't want to know that what they are doing is causing the dilemma. And, you know, that should be a freeing idea, because that means that you can do something to change it. But most people don't want the responsibility. They rather say it's their genetics.
or it's the thrifty gene, or the, you know, it's like, come on, right. Give me a break.
Well, and you talked about, you know, when you were giving me some nice compliments going into break, talking about, you know, this guy bridges the gap of science, and he has a big deadlift and a, you know, muscle and all this stuff, and people, I'll get all the time, you know, just being on drugs and whatnot, and what you have to understand is people is like, look, I've been very consistent for a long period of time. I've been doing this for 15 years, you know? Like, the longest break I ever took was 4 days off after I tore my pec. And after 4 days
I remember that.
Within the surgery, of getting the surgery done, I was back doing, you know, single leg extensions, just doing whatever I could. I've just been extremely consistent over a long period of time. I mean, I put on 3 to 4 pounds of stage weight during a 4-year off season, you know? So people only kind of look at the end product, you know? And so, like you said, it's kind of a deferment of responsibility in terms of, okay, if I want to fix this problem, I've got to be very patient, I've got to be very consistent, and I've got to kind of put my short-term goals aside in order to maximize my ability to achieve my long-term goal. And what I mean by that is I'll get people who come to me all the time and they'll say, I know my metabolism's damaged, but I just want to lose some body fat. If I can just lose this 10, 15 pounds, I'll be good, and then I'll reverse diet. And what I'll tell them is like, look, you're not getting my point. You're going to make this problem worse if you keep trying to diet now, okay? It's just going to make the problem worse. And I actually had a gal who, you know, she was the worst case I've ever seen in terms of not being able to lose weight on like 600 calories a day and 2.5 hours of cardio a day. I mean, it was just really crazy. And we were very slowly bringing her calories back up. And she was gaining a bit of weight here and there, but she was really starting to get on a roll. And then it came around that there's an event coming up, and she said, please let me diet for this. Please let me diet for this. And against my better judgment, I let her diet for that. And not only did she not lose, she didn't lose any weight. Her metabolism was not sufficiently, you know, back up to speed, so to speak. She didn't lose any weight, and then when she started adding, then when she had kind of a cheat meal at the event, she put on 5 pounds in those 2 days, and she and basically could never get it off. So it's one of those things I tell people. Now she was kind of the other end of the spectrum in terms of being in a very bad place metabolically. But you know, I tell people like, look, if you keep sabotaging yourself, you're going to make the problem worse. So sometimes you have to take a step back before you take 2 steps forward.
Right.
And it's very hard, and especially with the cardio. Okay, I just have some more cardio. There's actually some research out there that shows that, like, low-intensity cardio, if you overdo it, it actually decreases your metabolic rate. And just inherently, we kind of know this to be true because anybody who's added in a bunch of low-intensity cardio, what happens? We'll get a bump in weight loss, and then it will stagnate.
Well, and probably a portion of that is a result of, once again, your genetic makeup that's designed to protect the body at times of environmental threats. And this threat is that, wow, you're not getting enough food, and now you're wanting to exercise more. You're wanting to output more energy, and the body becomes right. it goes into protection mode even faster than if you were just starving yourself exclusively.
Yeah, and really the only two types of exercise that don't drop metabolic rate, at least, you know, I believe we had Dr. Jeff Bullock on Body RX a while back, and he was talking about this.
Yeah.
He said the only types of exercise that don't drop metabolic rate are the high-intensity interval cardio type sessions and resistance training.
And think if about it, and think about why that is. Think about why that is, Lane, because just like you are tricking the body by reverse dieting, right? High-intensity training, you get in the gym, you blast off for maybe 15 minutes where you're doing 30 seconds on, a minute off, and you're really giving it everything you got. And then just before the body goes, holy crap, what's this guy doing? You stop, you're done, and you walk out. And the body goes, oh, wow, that was a scary threat, but no alarm, nothing to worry about because we're done already. And so it's this mosquito approach that works, this zoom in, suck some blood, and get out of there before he slaps you dead.
The other thing is, too, on a cellular level, when you're talking about high-intensity exercise, it increases, I believe it increases the expression of kind of uncoupling proteins. It makes it makes the mitochondria a little less efficient in terms of high-intensity exercise. And you see that in terms of the body fat loss, because even though people make a big deal over, you know, and we've talked about this, the fat the source of calories they use during exercise. I want to burn all fat during exercise. And I tell people, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. The only thing that should matter is, do you lose more body fat? And if you compare low-intensity cardio, there was a study a while back that compared, an hour of walking on the incline treadmill at 3 miles per hour versus 6 30-second all-out sprints, resting as long as the people wanted between sprints, showed that the people doing the 6 30-second sprints lost 50% more body fat than the people doing the low-intensity hour walking. So, again, you know, I think a lot of people, they just, like, low-intensity cardio, I believe, can be just as bad as the caloric restriction. Basically, it's just a calorie burn. So it's just the same. It's basically the same as eating less calories, because you don't get the metabolic effect from it in terms of, you know, thermogenesis like you really do with the high intensity cardio or weight training. You don't get that protein turnover effect. And I think it's honestly kind of laziness on the part of people who are doing it, because it's like, you know, if you want to do high intensity intervals, guess what? You're not going to be talking on the phone and watching TV while you do it.
Right.
You're going to be sucking wind. And when you're not sucking wind, you're going to be doing high intensity interval. So it's kind of easy, right? Just to say, okay, well, I'm just going to get up in the morning and I'm going to watch some TV and I'll do my 45 minutes of cardio. And when I come home from work at night, I'll do 45 minutes of cardio, you know, before I go to bed. And it's just easy, because I used to do it that way.
Right.
And I found that the more I added in, the harder and harder it became to lose body fat over a long period of time. And it's gotten to the point where, I mean, I think most low-intensity cardio I have any clients doing is like 3 or 4 30-minute sessions per week, and that's like people who are really getting down to the nitty-gritty. So, and that's the same thing with calorie-wise. I mean, I really, again, I think 3 points. One, maximizing your metabolic rate and metabolic inefficiency during the off-season when you should always be trying to add in more calories slowly. You know, a lot of people think about an off-season as just trying to gain muscle, but to really be also trying to maximize your metabolic rate so it's easy when you diet down for your contest or whatever event you want to do, and giving yourself enough time so you don't have to crash diet, and 3, being patient to where you start out on a high level of calories and you only make small adjustments and you don't like when you hit sticking points. But I think, you know, it kind of builds on itself in terms of, we talked about these virtues like patience and consistency and hard work. And that, unfortunately, it's harder to sell somebody that than it is to sell somebody, oh, just here, drink this, and you will have all your problems.
Right. It actually takes more thought. Listen, Lane, I want to thank you. I know you're busy training people and working, for coming on the show today to talk about this, because this is one of those drums that cannot be beaten often enough. This notion that starving yourself is going to get you to the end point that you are dreaming of is it doesn't work. Apply critical thinking skills. Look at the nation. Look at the nation of people who say,
yeah,
I don't understand it. I'm only eating 1,000 calories a day. I can't lose any weight. There's a million people out there like this. They can't figure it out.
Yeah.
And they don't apply critical thinking. They don't go, well, let me try something completely polar opposite of what I'm doing and let me see what happens. Let me slowly increase my calories and see what my body does. So,
yeah,
this is a really important discussion. Very, very important discussion.
Again, it's, you know, it's trying to convince people that, okay, we're a nation of people who want it right now, right? I want to be lean right now. Well, guess what? That may not be reasonable for you right now. It might take you 6 months, 9 months, a year till you can hit your goal. And that might involve trying to take a step back before you take a step forward. That's very hard for people to understand and very hard for them to, you know, we kind of get into this whole idea of, well, if I just work hard enough, it should happen. Well, you also, working hard is important, but also working smart is extremely important too.
Yeah.
And, I mean, just look at the people in The Biggest Loser. I mean, there was a whole study done on the people who lose a massive amount of weight on that show, and they get off and they go put it all back on very quickly, you know? So it's not just, you know, we get in this idea that, okay, I just want to see the scale move down each week, and if the scale just drops, I'll be okay. And really, we've got to get past that and look at things from a more maintainable, long-term metabolic health standpoint. The more metabolically healthy you are, in terms of capacity to lose body fat, the better you're going to be in terms of getting towards your goals over a long period of time.
And the next discussion that plays into this is metabolic flexibility, and that plays a large role into your body's ability to eat more calories and continue to burn body fat. But that's for another show entirely. Listen, Lane, thanks so much for being on the show today, brother.
Thank you for having me, Carl. I really appreciate it.
Okay, and also thanks to Tim Caulfield. Go to Amazon.com and check out his book, The Cure for Everything. And, of course, Lane's website is BioLane, BioLayne.com. And we'll see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.